Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What does it even mean to miss the rains down in Africa?
The lyrics are, I bless rains down in Africa.
What? No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
It makes even less sense.
Well, I should know, because I karaoke'd it at my wedding.
Part of the moon now.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack for Saturday, January 7th, Saturday.
Saturday, January 7th.
There you go. 7th of January, 2023. Is this our first episode of the new year? No, we did last week.
Technically, we did one on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that's true.
Not even really technically. We did one on New Year's Day.
You're right. This is the second of the year, and also the time we'll stop saying it's the anything of the new year. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, even in this new year. My name is Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He is the operating system of the moon, Dunaway.
Blue screen, reboot. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, we head back to 2022. Oh, God, no, not 2022 again. I'd rather find out the moon is full of killer AI space bees bent on our destruction than return to 2022. What's that now? Damn you, Roland, and other PG-13 expletives. I'm so mad I could just forget everything I know about space and our universe and watch the moon stalk Earth like a predator in a horror movie. He's behind me, isn't he? Good night, moon megastructure. Good night, operating system program spaceman Tarly. Good night, everything I learned in physics class. Anywho, now if you'll excuse me, I have to go prepare to save the world with my very specialized skills. Dysfunctional family dynamic, crazy ambition, and a borderline suicidal tendency due to guilt. Oh, and a military connection. And a bomb. And a lot of convenient happenstance. And oh yeah, I'm rich. And everybody around me is rich. But not so rich that I could not, you know, pay my rent. Fleas on motorbike. Randy, hand me my little tin of colorful pills. Those little colorful pills there. Did I take the blue one? Because I'm about to fly this podcast right up the dark side of the moon's hole. Oh my God, it's full of bees. It's full of bees.
I wish it was full of bees. It would have been a better movie full of bees.
Oh, I want to talk about full of bees because I have a theory.
I like that. I like theories. Let's move on now down the road. Oh, yeah. Who knows? Down the road to Randy. Is this the new smoke monster Jordan?
Aloha, Scott, Brian, and Brian. I've called you all here to Vandenberg Air Force Base because, as you know, the moon is falling and that makes the oceans destroy everything. And you are all dumb enough to come to Vandenberg, which is on the ocean, 150 miles west of Los Angeles. Aww. So you're my people. Anyway, joke's on you. We can't make the rocket work, so you should all go meet up with your families after you take the 101 for like 3 hours, and you'll still be at sea level. Okay, let's talk about how you're going to survive gravitational tsunamis. Tsunami. There might not be an S on plural tsunami. I think. Okay, so
it's a silent S.
You're going to survive if you just follow my three crazy rules. Number one, carry a gun, but don't use it. Most of the human race is dying, and those who are armed are going to be very dangerous to deal with. So just give them your car, I guess. Number two, memorize everyone's satellite phone number. I've also heard stories of really old people who used to remember phone numbers back in the late 1900s. You need to somehow do that. Number three, this is important. When you need it most, call on reverse gravity. Yeah, that's right. Reverse gravity. It'll come along and it will only affect some heavy objects, but not others. Like, you can just hide in a shed and the reverse gravity won't impact you. Mm-hmm. But when you need to jump over a chasm, reverse gravity will give you a lift. Whoa, flying train cars. I'm dead. Rest in peace, comma me.
Oh,
comma me.
Comma me.
And a comma.
Comma me.
With us finally, Brian, this movie is very bad. Ibbit.
Oh, I see what you did there. I don't think that went unmissed and unappreciated as I try to figure out why something is not playing here that should be playing here. Why is it not playing? Let's try this again.
Just the bees.
All right.
Oh, no. Come on now. What's going on?
Space bees.
All right.
Oh,
it doesn't work. What is it?
It's not playing. Like, you guys heard the thing that played a minute ago. Why is
it? Oh, it was you then.
It was totally me. I was testing it to make sure it was going to work.
Oh.
I was testing to make sure it was going to work, and now it's not going to work. Hold on a second. All right, we're going to just...
It's all right. This is how the sausage is made.
This is so good. This is just such great content for everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to
try
this one more time.
We're not perfect.
No. We're barely functional.
I blame the gravitational tsunami.
Oh, here we go.
There it is.
Oh,
nice.
Hey, you're hearing it? Oh, good. Yeah, this is a little song that I sang that I karaoke at my wedding.
Okay.
I'd love it if you guys would sing along, but you really don't know the words, so please don't. Here's a little something from the band REM. A civilian scientist sees what NASA missed, like Independence Day. Meteors target major cities on Earth, just like Deep Impact. Someone stays behind to trigger the bomb. Armageddon did that. Ex-wife's new husband dies to save them all. I think that was 2012. Main character's kids trying to get back home. Day after tomorrow.
Nailed it.
The monsters won't find you if you turn off your phone. Independence Day again. Now, Roland, did you try hard on this one? Tell me, are you out of new plots? Roland, have you started recycling, baby? Are you smoking pot? If you believed they left a man in the moon.
Nice.
You can say that.
I'll say the moon.
Yeah.
If you believe a Lexus NX can fly, you might be a fool.
Cool.
If you believed there's a white dwarf in the moon.
A dwarf in the
moon. There you go, thank you.
Great.
Then you believe a shuttle flight crew of three, and Elon is cool.
Elon, I'm not saying that.
Was that the entire song, like, lengthwise? It
was the entire song. That was like a six-minute song. I can't believe you. That felt like just 2 minutes and 4 seconds, didn't it?
It really did.
No way.
It really did.
Through the magic of editing, I took out like five verses and two more choruses.
You did a good job.
I'm so proud of you right now, but I'm a little pissed off because you just destroyed my Twitter post for later.
Nicely done.
I'm just going to cut it down.
Are you going to sing Man in the Moon by REM for your Twitter post?
I'm going to cut it down a little bit, but I'm not going to completely rewrite it now.
Yeah. You hit all of the happenstance. Every time I would see something, I'm like, oh, I've seen it before. Oh, that was this movie. That was that movie. Yeah.
What was difficult was like trying to say, oh, well, that happened in Day After Tomorrow and 2012 and Deep Impact. Yeah. And this one happened in Independence Day and 2012.
Well, because we had already done this. In Armageddon, we had already said, oh, this is a ripoff of this thing from Independence Day. Mm-hmm. We'd already done that.
Right.
Yeah, we'd done it. It's just, it's Roland Emmerich. This is what he makes. He doesn't know what else to do. And here's the other thing I noticed. This is all funded by Tencent and Chinese money. And it's not a problem necessarily, except when that happens, it's like The Meg. I don't know if you guys saw The Meg.
I did see The Meg.
I'm with you.
I don't know why I saw it, because I should have just waited for us to eventually film Zach.
I saw it too. I saw it in theaters for some unknown, ungodly reason back in 2019. But it's that kind of thing. When that happens, what usually happens anyway, is it always feels a little soulless. And I don't mean, this isn't a xenophobic thing. It's a creative control thing. I think that
they're more conservative request when they fund these movies.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just the nature of it.
They also, when they fund them, they think that we've got really short memories. I'm sure that they're saying, well, this is kind of like what Bruce Willis did at the end of Armageddon, where he draws the short straw and he kicks Ben Affleck into the elevator and makes it so he can't, he cuts his hose.
You know, as we get older, and we're talking about Moonfall, by the way.
Moonfall.
Sorry, but, Moonfall. Sorry. I never even said that in my song.
Yeah.
Right. Moonfall. But, you know, I'm okay with this, because as we get older, we have more and more memories of movies, and we have those experiences. But then if someone, you know, they're in their 20s, comes along, they may have never seen Armageddon or any of these other movies that we're referencing. Even 2012? That was 9 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
10 years ago? No, 11 years ago now.
11 years ago.
Yeah, I just feel bad then, because this should not be the first time you see. Like, those movies, as schlocky as they were, they are so much better than this, that if you're going to see each of these tropes represented, you should see them in the...
Yeah, are they better?
When they were done far better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I agree.
I want to make both arguments. Number one, Armageddon was objectively better. Like,
than this? Hell yeah.
There is a reason that there's a Criterion Collection.
I was going to say, my DVD says Criterion Collection at the top, right above the words Armageddon.
Hold on, Dunaway, are you actually going to bat for this over that? You're not saying that.
No, I'm not saying that this is better. I would almost say it's kind of parallel and there's enough pros and cons here that they kind of almost balance out, because this movie does some things better than Armageddon, but then does a bunch of stuff worse than Armageddon, and neither one of them, in my opinion, are really
25 years newer.
Would you say that maybe this is like watching the greatest hits, like Roland Emmerich's greatest hits, without having to watch all those other albums with those deep cuts in them?
For us, absolutely. However, once again, I got to remind you, it's been a while since we've done a disaster, since we the public has experienced a disaster movie quite like this. So it's kind of hard to say, because it's kind of like always the argument I usually look at is the Romeo and Juliet story. So every generation gets one, because teenagers are constantly coming into their own, and you know, they haven't seen the previous ones, and they need to see people who are, you know, look like them from their generation and speak like them and do like them, and the story's still there. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. No, I agree with that. That happens all the time. The iteration just passes from generation to generation. But in this particular case, the reason I would give Armageddon or almost any, even other Emmerich films, a thumbs up over this just feels soulless. I don't feel like there's any, I don't care about anyone. I don't care about their plight. I didn't feel like I related to anybody. I just didn't care about these people in this movie.
Like Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck and all those guys. They were such cocky assholes. I didn't care about those guys either.
Some were, but like his buddy that played the bad guy in the Postman. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Yeah, I love that actor. He had a very that was a very sympathetic.
He had a great story arc, right? Yeah. With his kid watching him, like watching the space thing, and the woman says, "That's your daddy that just did that."
Yeah. Yeah. Like I bought into that pretty hard. And also I really like Billy Bob Thornton is kind of running things back at base. And I like, you know, a lot of that stuff I thought was cheesy and over the top.
I feel like if you ask the question, what's your favorite color? Brown or slightly darker brown? I mean, it's just
Scott's point is a really good one about how you need to give us something to make us invest in these characters other than, oh, he watched his friend get eaten in space by a bunch of bees, and now everybody thinks he's crazy, and now he's, you know, a former, like, disgraced former astronaut. Mm-hmm. we don't care about him as much as we care about Will Patton and, you know, Armageddon.
I don't really care about Will Patton either.
Oh, come on. You care about
him. I felt like he was a trope too. Like his, you're so trope.
Ex-wife just thinks he's like this deadbeat and will never amount to anything.
Look, working Spielberg on had been doing for decades that. Decades
and doing it better and doing it better. You're not wrong.
Yeah,
you're not wrong about that. But I guess what I'm saying is there's an energy and color and tone and rhythm to Armageddon,
right.
the film that we're talking about compared to this. And I just felt like this was painted all by numbers. Some of the effects were okay. Some of them were atrocious. Right. But here's just the basics of some of that. And then let's not really build character. Let's not really make you care about anybody. Let's just fill in those squares so that by the end we filled them all in and we've given them.
Do you like soft shell tacos or burritos better? They're just kind of, they all got the same ingredients, just different.
I would say this is like going to finding a great street taco truck and getting a taco there versus this movie where it's like, oh, all right, yeah, Del Taco's fine.
Oh, you're saying it's way better. Holy cow, you just like put a chasm between the two movies.
For some reason, analogy. I have it bristles me, the hair on the back of my neck when we compare watching a movie to eating food. I don't know why. There's something about the fact that I am going to eat the same food. Like, I'm going to eat this really good burger from a local burger joint every month for a long time if I'm lucky, right? And it's like I'm not going to watch any of these movies many, many times, but I just want to make the case. I want to make the case for Moonfall because I had a really good time watching this movie.
Yeah.
And that case, I think, is all in the people trying to entertain me. Like, there are hundreds of people come together to make a movie. They're all kind of stuck with a crappy script, right? There's nothing you can do about that, right? Mm. Except maybe get someone to rewrite the script. Mm-hmm. But there's so much effort in this movie to entertain me, like from the music to the acting to the, and it really, it all boils down to, for some reason, they had Josh Gad lined up to play KC, kicked him out. He lost the plot, and they plugged in John Bradley, freaking Sam Tarly from Game of Thrones.
I was
entertained the entire movie thanks to this one little thing that happened. I'm sure Josh Gad would have been interesting, but he would have been very different. He's way more boisterous, way more over the top.
Trivia just claims it was a schedule thing. Was there a bigger deal going on? Something weird happened, or
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I just know that there's three important characters in this movie, and I'm sorry, but Charlie Plummer is not one of them. And of the three
in this movie,
Halle Berry can never ever do anything different than what Halle Berry always does.
Yeah,
so it's Halle Berry. It's not going to elevate something for me. Patrick Wilson apparently just can't ever rise to the occasion. I don't know what it is.
He's paying the bills, dude. I love that guy and all sorts of stuff. This just is.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying that he gets right up to the average. Like, he's like the, you know, like he's like you ordered an action star off Wish accidentally. You got Patrick Wilson, right?
But
I think he's. He's
charming.
Just fine in this.
You know, fine.
I mean, he's fine. He's like Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. I'm sure there's hopefully a lot of great Brian clips.
God, how could you not?
But Tina said, God, what do I know him from? And I'm like, well, do you remember Watchmen? No, I don't remember Watchmen. You didn't watch any of the Insidious movies? No. How about Conjuring? No. Okay, then yeah, you don't know Patrick Wilson.
You don't know him.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, if you've seen Fargo season 2, you've seen Patrick Wilson at his best. He was amazing in that, and I thought he deserved all the credit and accolades for that role. And I don't know why he gets stuff like this at the same time. To me, it just feels weird to me. He's good in those horror movies. Like, they're fine.
I thought he did good. He did fine. He does good. He's a nice little piece right in here, just to put him right in there.
Did you call him a piece? I like that.
Exactly at average for me. Like, he gets right up to the mark, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the first time you saw Chris Pratt in Guardians of the Galaxy, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that's overshooting. That's good. I like how he brings a bunch to the role, and, you know, he has a sense of humor. And that's the thing. To enjoy this movie, you are either going to find your sense of humor and line it up with this movie's sense of humor, or you're really, really going to hate it. And I found that level. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go with this Wilson Yahoo as a superhero astronaut. I'm just going to go for it. It's great. It'll be fun.
I'm actually very glad to hear that, because I tried really hard to do this. I feel like Gibbet and I may be aligned on this one. I just found it just to be like so soulless. I keep using that word because it just feels right to me. That I just could never care about anybody. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and watched it going, all right. Also, it's really crappy for clips. There's a few in there, mostly Brian clips. But it was like just empty to me. And it felt very by the numbers. And okay, here's your movie. I've packaged it exactly the way you want it. And here you go. And it seems like the critics agree with me. I wish I could come at it with a different tact, because it's just to me so.
And Scott, I think you get to blame the director for this. Mm. And I think what happens is you need a movie like this to take every character and develop them so that they don't come across as individually soulless. Yeah. And some of these characters were written to be that. The general played by M.A. Ikwakor.
Yeah.
Amazing opportunity there, but written soulless. He's a blank canvas, right? No even question. Like Donald Sutherland in a tiny cameo in this movie is soulless.
Sutherland in the bucket. What happened to him?
Yeah. He's directed.
What did Sutherland do?
He's directed to be soulless, and Donald Sutherland has so much to offer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael Pena is a soulless performance, because it's like they didn't, I don't know, they like, you're angry because you're like, your family's disconnected, but you're not like, you don't really have a backstory. And it's like, he puts in a performance that doesn't offer the movie anything.
You know? And who is Win-Win Yu? I couldn't even figure out what exactly she
Kelly
was
supposed
Yu. To be the doing the there. Nanny,
Kelly,
right?
Excuse me. Yeah, Kelly. Yeah Kelly Yu. So, yeah, I was like, I couldn't even, it took me a little while to even figure that out. I was like, oh, she's not the big sister. She's the nanny. Wait, is she the nanny or is she exchange student? And she's
traded an out exchange for, student nanny. Yeah.
Exchange student/nanny.
We're gonna brush over that. Do you have exchange students nannies? Is that what happens? Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Exchange student do anything, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, what is going on? I need to know more about this story. But I felt like everybody's soulless, because I can never relate to any of these people in these movies. What? Same with Armageddon. It's like people who can spend amazing amounts of money, just do the most outrageous, expensive things in the universe. And I'm like, how are these people? They get freaking rich. And they're like, I don't have no money. It's like, there's no way this guy doesn't have some money to pay the rent.
But you know, if you're looking at Arwen Evenstar in Armageddon and she's looking to the sky and she's crying, Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
You can't call that soulless. If anything, you can call it whatever you want, but not soulless.
Thank you for
it
the clarification.
It is so soulful.
Yeah.
I'm so disconnected from the characters. It'd be like watching Elon Musk cry. It'd be like, do I really care? Not really.
Also,
I want to care.
I know that's part of our, it's in our discussion here. Or we keep bringing up Elon Musk. This actually represents twice this week that I've seen a movie where Elon Musk is invoked.
This movie was made 5 minutes before. This movie was made 5 minutes before Elon purchased Twitter. And
Captain Phillips.
The other one was, actually wasn't a movie. Sorry. It was Kim started watching Discovery against my recommendation. Okay. And there's early on scene where somebody, you know how they do this in Star Trek? They'll say, oh, well, what about Einstein, Newton? And then they'll name like two weird aliens that haven't been born yet. They did like that, where they were like, Einstein, Elon Musk, and Zontar.
And it was Jason Isaacs who delivered the line.
Yeah.
And there are a few conspiracy theories that I hold to wholeheartedly. And one of those is Elon Musk paid Paramount to put that in there. Like that. I believe that. You cannot dissuade me from that belief.
I'm here for your conspiracy.
Put his name in their show.
We couldn't get enough of Elon Musk before he got in our face every day. And it's kind of like what happened with Bart Simpson back in the day. It's like, after he's in your face so long, it doesn't matter whether you like him or not. You're just like, get out of my face.
It's just too much.
I'm sick of hearing about you. I'm here. I just hate your name.
I agree with that point.
By the way, can I give you my number one conspiracy theory that I will take to the grave?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Sure.
I promise you.
Like that, how can we say no?
Yeah, we can't say no to that.
The lottery, the lotto, is the government setting a trap for time travelers.
That's like amazing. That's really good.
I want to somehow go back in time and incorporate that into my bonus episode. Yeah. My bonus,
yeah.
That's really good.
I will always believe that.
I love that idea because I mean, that's perfect though. That's actually
exactly
perfect.
What a time traveler, the first thing they would think of to do is like, all right, well, I need some money. I need to be able to fund my work. I'm just going to go pick a lottery number.
And I know I would. Hell yeah.
Well, how are they going to do it? Like, how is the government going to figure that out? That it's this time traveler that's winning.
Yeah. How's it?
Oh, they don't care. If you win the lotto, they just put you in prison. Like they just
Is that how it happens?
You must be a time traveler.
Okay. That's just the way it works.
Right. Perfect.
I like this a lot. This is a fantastic bit of,
I guess they'd have to look and say, wow, this guy never bought a lottery ticket until this one. He bought one lottery ticket with this number and won.
Yeah.
$1 billion. You must be a time traveler.
I would go back and just buy like 1997 Apple stock, because that would do enough to make you loaded by the time the real timeline came around.
Go back or go in the future and I'd buy that sports manual that Marty McFly walked around with.
Oh, yeah. See?
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
That's a good guy on DraftKings.
I'd go back in time and kill baby Hitler.
Yeah. Wouldn't you, though? That's always the big question.
Why is it always baby Hitler, by the way?
It always is.
You can go and get him when he's 20 and you'll feel better about yourself.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good point. They never say it that way. It's like, hey, would you kill baby Hitler if you saw him? Oh, you wouldn't? You're a Nazi. Oh, you would? You're a terrible baby killer. It's like, no, how about when he's just like 18 and stupid?
Yeah. I would do some more research and find out exactly when he takes his turn.
Five minutes before he does his first bad thing. How about that?
Can I just kill
him then? Yeah, can you kill him while he's in prison writing Mein Kampf or whatever? Kill him then.
Exactly, yes.
Maybe he only gets halfway done. He's Mein Kampf, and that's all he gets done because you shot him in the head right before he got Kampf out. Do that.
I really would be worried, though, about like what things that we need
avoided.
That we rely on. Like, exactly. What good things came from the bad thing that we learned from Hitler?
There's a reason why Hitler came to power. The people also were a part of that.
No, they're 100% part of it.
Well, this brings us right to Moonfall, because
Randy is working it today.
My second thing that you have to do to enjoy this movie with me is you have to completely drop all sense of care about the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of physics, freaking law of the jungle. You have to drop all of it, all laws that you have ever heard of. Just forget they exist, because this movie, it doesn't care.
That's what the movie tells you halfway through, too. It tells you it's like everything we knew, everything we know, out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And
I thought that was actually a really good little scripted moment.
I did
like
too.
To put that in the script and have the screenwriter say to you, you got to turn your brain off now. Because I did. I went with it and it was fine.
How do you guys think you can negotiate something like, so if you look at the poster, Donald Sutherland gets like second billing or first, maybe he's way up there. And then he's literally in the film. I looked it up. 2 minutes.
I wanted to see him shoot himself. I wanted that closure.
Well, how do you do? I mean, I understand getting a prestige person, and even if it's a cameo, that helps your movie. I just think that's a weird one. You know, was he just sitting around going, I'm bored. I don't know what doing today.
He did this exact same thing in JFK. He was the secret conspiracy person in JFK. So they just said, hey, you mind doing that again? Could you do that for us?
Yeah, it was like everybody in JFK felt like a really cool cameo, you know?
Yeah.
Like if it wasn't for Costner and like two other people, it was like that whole movie was nothing but cool cameos. And, you know, one of the most memorable things I ever saw, John Candy do. Freaking love that in there.
Oh God, I forget that he was in that.
Yeah. Played that Southern governor or whatever he was. That was amazing. Anyway, so it's just a weird thing. I remember seeing it. I saw the poster before. I went, oh, Sutherland's in this. I like him. He's cool. He's the white guy, the white haired guy from all your Hunger Games and whatnot these days. Maybe he'll be in this and be prominent again or whatever. Nope. 2 minutes, he's out.
Right, he's in the preview, he's in the trailer, and that's pretty much, you see his entire contribution to this film.
I also feel there's a piece of trivia I feel like supports your intro a bit, which says this: the idea of for this film emerged during Independence Day resurgence, and the script was written across 4 years since then. I mean, basically, he just was like, oh, you know what? Oh, and they also leave this hanging like there's a sequel where Samwell Tarly is the freaking moon.
Oh, right. That was fun. I like that part.
Dave Bowman from 2001, you know, living in the obelisk or whatever it is, kind of coming back and being for 2010, the voice, the thing that brings them back to the.
Do we want a moon, an all omnipotent moon that has IBS? I don't know if we want that. You know what I mean?
Well, crap, when you put it that way. Yeah. No, I don't think we do.
It just seems like you put the wrong guy in there. Like this, that was the Patrick Wilson. Patrick Wilson should have been in the moon, in my opinion. I don't think you put Samwell in
there. I like the sort of bookends for the Casey Hausman character, where when you first meet him, he's literally pushing a mop. And in the end, he not only saves the world, but becomes one with the moon. Like, I feel like that is way, way better than just your hero's journey, where Patrick Wilson is an astronaut, falls from grace, has to pick himself up and become one with the moon. I just, like, you know what I mean? Like, for me, it's the weird guy who was right all along. That's the better story, I think.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And they kind of followed him pretty much that way anyway. I mean, he kind of pivoted pretty quickly.
So somebody said to you, let's just get a take here. Somebody sat us down and said, all right, guys, you have to watch one of these two movies tonight. And there's nothing you can do about it. You have to watch one. This one's called Armageddon, and this one is called Moonfall. You're picking Armageddon.
I would watch Armageddon seven nights in a row.
I would not,
because I've only seen Moonfall once. I've seen Armageddon 5 million times.
Actually, you know what? I'm wrong. I would watch Armageddon three nights in a row. I'd watch Moonfall one night, and then I'd watch Armageddon three more nights in a row.
Okay, the person proposing this would say, well, we're deadlocked. I guess we're watching Retrograde again. Enjoy.
Sweet.
Yeah, they would screw us over because we can't agree. But I understand. I kind of get where Dunaway is coming from. At least this is new. It literally is new. It's like less than 9 months old or something.
Yeah.
Although they started filming before the pandemic and got delayed.
Scott, I think the better question, the really more interesting question to me is, where does this fall in this list of schlock by Roland Emmerich? Like, how do you rank Moonfall against Independence Day and Godzilla and The Day After Tomorrow?
That's a good call. That's a good question. I still say Day After Tomorrow is my favorite of his apocalyptic movies by far.
Yeah. Why? I still got to go ID4. I like the other one. Mm. Yeah.
We sacked Day After Tomorrow. I vaguely remember some of the things we said. Why right now? Why is Day After Tomorrow?
I just think it's a better movie, and I care about the people in it. And I think I also like apocalyptic stuff. The moon thing did not feel that way at all. It was just disaster after disaster. Whereas Day After Tomorrow was a little more
sci-fi in mind. Maybe that's the difference. Mm.
Yeah. You've got to have, maybe that's the thing, right? I mean, believability in all these things feels like such a scale, like a sliding scale. You have to believe that there's this giant meteor heading towards Earth. You have to believe that there's aliens on spaceships that are, you know, wanting to destroy us. So those feel in the scale of parking your brain at the door a little bit more easier to swallow than, all right, the moon is getting, you know, just a few thousand miles away from Earth.
So let me give you
being piloted by a bunch of bees towards Earth. And
let me give you my third reason. I only have three things that I really wrote down. I'm like, this is my argument for this movie. This is really important. The backstory that is revealed, the big mystery that is uncovered and told about humans having a great history across the cosmos and how they made many moons like this and seeded planets and so forth. That is a really good story that I really like that. And that like almost saves the whole movie for me. This idea that there's an explanation for how this moon is the moon and how the swarm of bees is the swarm of bees and so forth. It makes it works. And I could actually, I would watch a prequel.
Concept wise, I wrote this down too. This is a movie with an insanely cool concept. I think it's rad. I think just the execution's kind of shitty is all.
Yeah.
You know? It saved it for me too. To make it more believable then and not just
a different take. Like this concept of there's a superstructure and that all of that is cool, high concept sci-fi that in the right hands is an interesting book or adaptation. But I just, this is applied with this Roland Emmerich template of this guy's down on his luck and out of money now, and his son hates him and he's in jail. We're going to get him out of jail. We're going to have a B story where all the people on the ground are just running everywhere. And then up here in space, we're doing our other A story. And it's just so his way of doing things that it bums me out. But if I'm going to, if I'm going to tell you my, here are my top three Roland Emmerich films. I haven't seen Midway, which I hear is all right.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. I'd like to see Midway.
And I forget that that's his because it's based on such a real thing. I mean, it is based on a real thing.
So. Yeah, it's history. So it's weird for him, right? Yeah. For me, though, here's my list. Day After Tomorrow, The Patriot When No One's Talking. The first 25 minutes of Stargate. Those are my top three. Do you see how I have those caveats? It's hard not to have caveats with that guy, with the exception of, I think The Day After Tomorrow, despite its ludicrous premise, is just the most, it feels the most grounded and thoughtful of all these.
He didn't write The Patriot, and that's why it stands out so much. It was written by the same person who wrote Saving Private Ryan and Flyaway Home. It's a pretty perfectly good writer, and Roland Emmerich just, pointed the camera at things, and that's the way to go with Roland Emmerich, I think.
Yeah. Universal Soldier.
I find those movies to be really interesting. I find ID4 to be really interesting. And I find this Moonfall to be very interesting. I like it. I think it's who else could have gotten some of these weird movies made? How do you know where the edges are unless you go explore them?
He does get to do that. You're not wrong about that. Like who makes Universal Soldier in 92?
Right.
Who else to do that but him? Mm-hmm. Like, in a way, Stargate, who takes that project? Like, a lot of these do feel that way. But by the time he was doing Godzilla, Patriot, Day After Tomorrow, that kind of run there in the early 2000s, it feels like he had just sort of finally established what he did and who he was going to be. But I'll tell you what the worst one on here is, and it's not Moonfall. It's 10,000 BC. That thing is a piece of shit.
I've never seen that. Oh, I'm really afraid of that.
Complete piece of shit.
I saw that in theaters, and I remember liking it.
Oh, I would love. You know what? It doesn't have a lot of talking, so maybe we don't do it for the show.
It really is a heart. Yeah, it's like
here's a clip of
it's kind of the cave bear, basically. Like it's
it's got some cool actors in it. Like I really like Cliff Curtis. I really like the guy from The Expanse. He plays the main guy. I can't think of his name. Anyway, he's the main dude. What's his name? Can't find it. Anyway,
main dude.
It's a bad movie, though, and I would put it below Moonfall. However, this guy makes movies that FilmSack wants to cover. So,
for sure. I just want to point out Universal Soldier, also not written by Roland Emmerich. That was written by Dean Devlin, who was the Stargate writer.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know who wrote the last half of Stargate, but that was bad. First half,
This is true. It gets kind of rough there. Thank God we had SG-1 to save all that stuff.
The From Dusk Till Dawn split, basically.
Yeah.
I'm glad we watched this. It came out a year ago. It did okay in theaters, but it was one of those movies where everybody saw it first weekend, and then it immediately started bombing because they told everyone else, you don't need to go watch this.
Don't bother.
And then it sort of like sat around for 6 months, and it jumped onto HBO Max, and then everyone watched this movie and told each other it's crap.
Yeah, it's been there since.
It's funny. The IMDb rating for both 10,000 BC and Moonfall, exactly the same. 5.1 on IMDb. Wow.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me. I mean, conceptually, it's a better. I think Moonfall's a better movie. It's just better. It's better than 10,000 BC. But
was I tainted by just seeing it at theater with a big screen and enjoying it?
I mean, they're big loud moments.
You might get a sucker punch like I did that time, and I went to the IMAX by myself and watched Sucker Punch, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, how can you like that movie?
Literally getting sucker punched. I love that. Yep. That works really well for a thing.
We should use that every time we get tricked into seeing a bad movie. We call it getting sucker punched.
Oh, I totally got sucker punched.
Yeah.
The IMDb user ratings always fascinate me because they're broken out by age and sex, right?
Yeah.
So you have... the highest rating for adults coming from women over the age of 45, which I just find fascinating. Like the women like this movie generally more than men, except under the age of 18, girls under the age of 18 give it the lowest rating on the demographic breakout, whereas boys under the age of 18 like it so much more than girls. And that's just fascinating. Like,
that's interesting. I never clicked on that link to see how the user ratings are broken up, but that's,
yeah. And again,
you compare, sorry to keep bringing up 10,000 BC, but you look at the two graphs side by side and they're almost identical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a really, you know, big percentage of people who just give it a 6.
Yeah.
20% of people versus 19.4% of people for Moonfall.
They really tapped into that same demographic here.
Males versus females is almost identical. It's crazy.
Weird. It makes sense that girls under the age of 18 would hate what boys under the age of 18 really kind of like more.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me that when you get up to 45 and up, suddenly women are with those under 18 males.
Yeah, that is weird, right? It's a little weird. I feel like those interests definitely align as you get to be older. But when you're younger, if you put a movie full of fart jokes and a movie full of cute boys next to each other, the boys are going to pick the fart jokes and the girls are going to pick the
cute boys. Why not both?
Yeah, why not
cute
both?
Boy, cute boys farting. Why not? Yeah, right. We need to make a movie of cute boys farting, and we
finally tapped the demographic into it.
Yeah, we right. cover the market.
That's probably a YouTube channel, as far as I know.
Yeah,
cute boys farting.
Boys farting.
Yep. Don't forget to smash that like button on my farting cute boy channel.
Don't forget to pull my like button.
By the way, if you like this kind of thing, you should go to Glass Onion and click on the IMDb rating and check the demographics. It's, again, not huge, huge differences, but there's just these little weird things. Like, why do boys under the age of 18 who watched Glass Onion like it so much more than girls under the age of 18?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting, thing I don't think of that often is those differences in dynamic and how much they have to consider those when they're making a movie. As to its
once
profitability.
Again, this, I think once again, this also speaks to certain things. I mean, we definitely all go see a movie because of a certain actor. You know, maybe that actor sure. appeals to us in a certain way, has a certain chemistry with us. I mean, maybe the Charlie Plummer character who was supposed to, and the Kelly Yu characters were supposed to bring in, you know, those young ladies. And they're like, no, thank you. This doesn't work for us. Mm. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Because I mean,
but that's the reason why I say that each generation, going back to my Romeo and Juliet thing, is like each generation needs to see characters that speak and appeal to them. Just like every generation has musicians who speak to their generation.
It's, yeah, I think that's there's something to that for sure.
You tell me that Sam Rockwell is going to be in something, and that's kind of all I need. I don't need to know plot. I don't need to know.
Where do I sign up?
I keep mixing him up thinking he was in this because I keep thinking of Moon. And so I was watching Moonfall, I was like, oh, yeah, Patrick. Oh, it's Patrick Wilson, not freaking.
This is when he falls to the moon.
And Moon is streaming on HBO Max. And so when I typed in Moon, that light came up in the list. I'm like, oh, I could watch Moon instead of this right now.
Moon is so good. So I did. There was about a 15-minute period while I was watching the movie and taking notes. I'm going to share in the chat what that looked like. Here's a screenshot of it. I wrote, this is bad. This is very bad. I don't even have stuff to add here. And then finally, that's how bad it is. So
hilarious.
That was the mood. That was the mood I was in. It got better toward the end, and I didn't, you know, but there was some stuff early on.
You didn't at least enjoy a Michael Pena? Didn't even
know because
all.
Normally I do. I like my Michael Pena.
Pena? Pena?
He
do you
has,
say,
a,
babe?
He has a tilde. Got to say
a little thing in his end. Yeah.
It's Pena.
I turn those off. I don't have those in my computer.
You got a Pena.
My font.
Yeah, I like that.
Doesn't have that.
He's great always in things, he's a waste in this.
Like I don't remember Michael Pena ever having a bad performance. Like it just.
I do last night.
Called on. What's that?
I said I do. It was last night in the Moonfall. I thought that was terrible.
You didn't feel for him when he like he just laid there dead, no oxygen, just died. Said left, right, left, right.
He gave his mask to his daughter so she could make it. Left, right, left, right.
You're dead. You're dead inside, Johnson.
I kept hearing the left foot, right foot, left.
Also, I feel like they didn't really understand what kids are like, because when she got there and they're like, where's Michael Pena or whatever?
I don't know.
She goes, behind me. Where is he now? Right. I don't know. Is he dead?
No, maybe. Left, no, no, right, no. Left.
Yeah, it was dumb. That was dumb. But I'm not, like, again, like, he's great at almost everything. I think there's nothing wrong with these actors. Like, I think I even wrote, did I put it here?
This maybe is bad, but the actors aren't bad. I didn't mean to say that.
I also hope there's a trope I didn't like. Here, let me play a trope alert because we haven't done that in a bit here. Hold on. Why is that not up? Oh, shit. Here it is. Okay.
Here's what I love about this movie. We finally have a movie where Scott looks in and says, everybody in this movie is alive still.
Because yeah, that's right.
About 6 months ago.
Yeah, nobody's died. That'd be real tragic if somebody had, but nobody has.
Exactly. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, here's my trope. I don't like when kids are the conduit for the massive computer thing. I don't even know what you'd call this, but it's like, hey, I need to talk to the master computer. Yeah, so here's the form of your child. Here's your kid. And
yeah, so you can relate, right? That's the idea, right?
But you don't need to relate. You just need someone to tell you.
So far ahead of us.
You just need to tell you the stuff. You don't need a kid there to do it.
Right.
I don't think so.
What would you prefer to be there?
Anything.
That trope is called a form you are comfortable with.
There you go.
And it is a, like, it's in everything that has like future tech.
And lots of times they even tell you, the actor even tells you, I'm in a form that you're comfortable with.
Yeah right.
And
yeah.
And it's also in a lot of things where you're like talking to God or Satan.
Yeah. Like you do.
Yeah. If God is not Morgan Freeman, then I would totally freak out. I don't know, like, how I'd handle it.
Like, a form you're comfortable with is the point of the movie Bedazzled, right? Like Brendan Fraser prefers
Elizabeth Hurley. Elizabeth Hurley.
Yes. Right, like, over, like, there is actually, you actually find out, like, oh, that's actually a demon with red horns, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a bunch of these.
One of those Mars movies did that, right? Where, like, was it Mission to Mars or Red Planet or something, where
Ghost of Mars,
the aliens appear to the character as his child or his wife or something like that. Pulled this from your memory,
right? But like in the Matrix, they just did an old guy, you know.
It's like, which, oh, I hated the architect. Oh, I hated,
see,
that guy.
I like
so much
the architect. See, that's weird because totally I prefer it over, like, here's a form, you know. I'd rather have, right, or you know, or get creative with it.
I wish it had been Agent Smith. That would have been better for me.
Really? That would annoy
right
me.
On, yeah, Elrond. I'm familiar. Yeah. I'm comfortable with Elrond.
Well, no, wait. If he's in the form of the Elf King, then yes, do that.
Yeah,
that'd,
yeah, yeah.
Randy's really pulling for us to switch our Star Trek connection to a Lord of the Rings connection.
Yeah,
we're getting to the point where you could probably start.
We really
doing
could,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We apparently saw this trope in Life Force. I don't remember Life Force.
It's the one with Captain or Patrick Stewart.
Yeah,
in
that's
it.
Patrick Stewart. Yeah, that's the
right. Takes place.
Where, is that where he's
David
naked?
Warner?
No.
David Warner in that one too.
Is he? Like, I don't know.
It's like, so we have what's written here. Human explorers, they presume they're dealing with human aliens, but it turns out they're bat-like creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Life Force.
That's, you're thinking of
that's the movie.
No. I'm saying the actor Brian was thinking of was
not David Warner.
Not David Warner.
No, it's the other guy. That's
Peter Firth, uh-huh, right? Is that the guy? Played Kane. Hold on.
No,
that's not him.
God, wasn't shit. David Warner wasn't in Life Force?
No.
I think your question boils down to, wasn't David Warner in Life Force? But
yeah, that was the question. No, that's not him, but I don't know who that is. I know who he's got a very similar look, that guy.
Yeah.
Dude, Life Force was shit.
It was terrible. Shit.
It's weird. Well, it does not deserve being thought of ever again.
No. But okay, it has 10 points higher than Moonfall, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's something. I think that's something.
It is something. What it is exactly, we don't know, but it's something.
Yeah. I think because people had to actually go out to find Life Force to rate it, whereas Moonfall could just fell in your lap and you just went and said, I hate this stupid crap.
I maybe it's because we are in 2023-22 and this, I feel like we should be better at these. Maybe that's it. And by better, I don't even know how to define that. Like, I want a deeper story. I want a more,
because we don't ever want these kinds of movies to stop. Big budget disaster, implausible, decent cast kind of things, where it's like, all right, we know that it's all going to get wrapped up and the main character is going to have to sacrifice himself, or somebody is, to save everybody else.
The right. I, the technology, the the concept is really the star of this one. The idea of megastructures. I mean, that's really the star here. Everything else is just...
Never even heard of that before. Is that an actual theory thing?
No, yeah, that's the thing. Yes. So that's that. Yeah. So okay. that's the whole thing to wrap it around, which is what Crichton used to always do. Crichton would always take some kind of out of left field technology,
it's almost conspiracy theory kind of thing.
Yeah, and just explore the crap out of it. Throw some some cookie cutter characters into the mix, and just whatever you get.
Well, he definitely did that. The cookie cutter the hell out of these characters.
Yeah. Not only is like a Dyson sphere a thing that people have like talked about and written about, there was a Dyson sphere in Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah. Whoa, what? Yeah. Was there?
Who was saying, yeah.
Oh, the thing. That's Dunaway. He's just away from his mic. Was it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Was it? There was a guy back there going, yeah, preach it.
Yeah.
I love the idea. There's a fifth guy somewhere in a room going, yeah I agree.
We've had a fifth co-host this entire time. That's Scott. Amazing. I did not know this.
I would love that. His name is Daryl, and you think he's right. Almost a spoiler.
Where's the Dyson Sphere in Infinity War? I'm trying to.
There's this planet called like Nida Valir.
Oh, Ned Valir, right? Where they make
Stormbreaker. They make magical weapons on this planet, and it's a Dyson Sphere around a neutron star.
The giant Dinklage lives.
Huge Dinklage.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Massive Dinklage. I don't know if you remember, but man, what a Dinklage. A
massive
that was.
Dinklage.
Yeah. Has there ever been a bigger Dinklage?
It's a Dinklarge, if you will.
Peter Dinklarge.
Sometimes I wish we did pulled from the show titles for the episode.
Peter Dinklarge is amazing. That's the funniest thing I've heard in weeks. I needed that. That's great. All right. I did give the movie a compliment. I said, In computer terms, I said, this has a cool idea behind it all. Just a poor EXE. I think I meant execution.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really feel that way. Like, give it more time. Let somebody like Villeneuve or some awesome sci-fi director have this material, and you might have something.
Yeah. Emmerich once again proved that he doesn't have anything but a very basic understanding of computers and operating systems and viruses and AI or anything else. Cause it's like, oh yeah, we're fighting against the AI, but the moon is an operating system.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's yeah.
So okay. Scott, you'd like it if they had just given the concept to Alex Garland and had him screenwrite?
Yeah, except he'd have really freaked me out, I'll bet. He would have really
Right, but he would have stripped away a lot of the nonsense, right? And like told a more personal story.
Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, just about anybody who, I'm trying to think of other names, Villeneuve, Garland, maybe Noah Hawley or somebody. Just somebody with the chops for something a little bit more deep. I don't know. And by deep, I just mean more than just like hand. Everything was hand waved. How long does it take you to get into space? We don't know. We're just going to hand wave that.
Yeah.
What is it like to have Samwell Tarly up there with all his conditions? It doesn't matter. Just hand wave it. They just hand waved everything. And that,
yeah, you didn't feel invested. Absolutely, Scott. That's okay. That's a valid feeling.
I wish I could have felt more invested.
And not just hand wavy, but hey, this is this thing right here we're going to show you really outlandish. You won't have time to think about it because the next thing in 30 seconds we're going to show you is even more outlandish. And you're going to forget about what you just saw because you're going to be trying to figure out the most recent thing.
And I guess I think
if you saw Moonfall first and had never seen Armageddon and then watch Armageddon after Moonfall, I think you'd have the same problem with Armageddon.
I want to see Armageddon.
Yeah, Marmageddon. No, you're absolutely right. It is
Marmageddon.
It is kind of a chicken and egg thing for me. Yeah. Like I
can't agree with that because Armageddon is just such a better movie. It's on every level. It doesn't matter the order you see them in when there's so much quality difference.
I mean, there is absolutely a quality difference, but I take Brian's point in that all of the tropes they explore, if these were fresh and new. And not, from a movie 20 years ago. I don't know. Whatever. There's also a million other movies that are like all of these. Like, they're including Roland Emmerich.
Yeah. I keep Emmonson and
Newton. I know. I don't want to keep doing that. I did that with Saturday at the beginning of the show. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard call because obviously we can't do anything about it or go back in time.
We've already seen both things. We can't say, oh, it would have been better if you would have seen it in this order. You're never going to convince me that that they do anything better here in Moonfall. They just do it newer. And just because you've got the technology to show something better doesn't mean you're giving me the background to enjoy it more.
Yeah. Once again, I don't think this movie is better in any way.
And I don't think you're saying that.
I think
that.
It's parallel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in a very non sort of like, if I hadn't seen either until today, I would say they're almost ripping each other off. You know,
Randy obviously has a love greater for Armageddon, and the quality difference for him is there.
By
a lot. And I, you know, there's also other stuff in that. There's my age when it came out, and the fact that I was, I was really, really impressed with the brand spanking new multiplex theater in Corpus Christi, where I went and saw Armageddon like 20 times that summer. And like there's a lot of stuff there, but also it's just a better movie.
If I'm gonna add, if someone says
I guess we gotta, if we wanted to say a better movie, what qualification points are you calling it a better movie? Like, you think it's better acted, better everything, better filmed, better special effects, all the awards that we give out at the Oscars? It would win if these were the only two movies at the Oscars. It would win every single award Armageddon would over this movie, is what you're saying.
I think so. I'm trying to think what would be the Moonfall surprise win, what category. And I just don't like the it's obviously not got a good original screenplay. The music was good, I think, in this movie, but it wasn't better than Armageddon's score is legendary.
Armageddon's score is just
be a visual effects for me is the only thing that this thing wins over Armageddon.
Yeah.
And that's just due to time. You know, you make Armageddon now, and I think that takes it. Right.
It was actually nominated for 4 Oscars. It didn't have a chance in any of those categories. But like Moonfall, there's no way Moonfall gets any Oscar nominations.
No, hell no. No. The other thing I would say is I think Michael Bay just is a more energetic director. I'll put that out there. And maybe that's just a lot more shaky cam and I'm mistaking it for actual good filmmaking. I don't know. But, the Rock I hold in high regard. I always will. I love that movie.
Sure.
But is it what makes it better than a lot of action movies that do similar things? I really don't know. Like, it's hard for me to put my finger on it.
What do you compare it to? The Rock versus Expendables? Is that a good comparison?
No, more like Die Hard. More like,
I don't know. I need something much newer, right? So to make this work,
for the comparison, sure. Work, no, that's
the
fair.
Rock versus something recent.
No, that's a fair. That's a fair thing. Let's think.
How about any of the recent
Olympus Has Fallen,
Fast and Furious,
or those?
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, like Fast 7.
I would take the Rock over Fast anything. I'd like it better than all those movies.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know why. We give a lot of shit to Bay for sure for a lot of things, but The Rock ain't one of them. I love that movie.
Yeah,
I can watch that right now. You know what? I'm watching The Rock. Take that,
Michael Bay. Michael Bay did very well for a few years doing a very specific thing that was very successful at the box office.
Yeah,
and so then everybody started copying that, and Michael Bay didn't have another trick up his sleeve.
Well, his trick was making poor Transformers movies that made so much money that he kept making them. That was his trick.
Is it that you just get locked into a franchise and you're like, no, I know I can do something with this. Let me try again. Let me try one more time with another movie in the franchise.
I mean, I don't know why, you know, the Transformers movies are objectively kind of terrible, fun to watch in some ways, but kind of bad.
With the exception of Bumblebee.
Yeah. And Bumblebee, which was out of Bay's hands.
Yeah.
And the new one is out of his hands also. It's the same director of Bumblebee. So I'm actually really looking forward to the new one because I loved that last one. That was great. They might finally get that right, but
That has such a good heart. Loved it.
Yeah, it was great, right? Man, I wish they all had that. But this new one, who knows? We got the animals in there. What are they called? Beast Wars ones. What are they called?
Right.
They're not Autobots, but they're called
Dino.
Beast Formers.
Beast Formers. That's not it. I love that, but that's not it. It's Auto. Mega manimals.
Nothing I could say.
Mega manimals.
Nothing I could say is better than Scott guessing. So I like to be quiet when this happens.
I cannot think 100%. Of the damn thing. It's the maximals. Is it maximals?
It is maximals. You did it.
I got there.
You did it.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Very excited about that. In case people are wondering, yeah.
but not the same director. I'm seeing.
Oh, I thought it was the same
same director as Bumblebee. No.
So Travis Knight is the guy.
Yeah.
It was only his second directing film. He'd previously directed Kubo and the Two Strings.
Great movie.
His upcoming movies are Wildwood and the $6 Billion Man, which I mean $6 Billion Man.
Is that right for inflation, though? It doesn't feel right.
It's pretty good. $6 billion. You can get a lot of man for $6 billion.
Yeah. You get a lot of mega manimals for $6 million.
So Rise of the Beasts. Oh, I'm so annoyed by this. Hold on here.
Yeah, sorry.
Who's doing that? I could have sworn I was told that Fred Capel Jr. Who the hell is that?
That's not a real.
That's not a real man.
That's a fake name.
Not a real person. But look. Oh, we got Peter. What'd we call it? What'd you call
him? Peter
Dinklage's new name? Largelidge? What was it?
Oh, Peter Dinklage.
Dinklage is in it. Baron Perlman plays Optimus Primal. Michelle Yeoh is Maximal Alizar. Oh, man. You guys, Pete Davidson. Oh, that sucks. That's too bad.
Come on,
he's fine. Yeah, he's fine. John DiMaggio, Peter Cullen.
I'm also sorry to inform you that the writer of Bumblebee, Christina Hudson, is completely owned by DC at this point. And she wrote Birds of Prey, and her films in the can are Batgirl and The Flash. So,
well, Hasbro, they're the Warner Brothers adjacent somehow, aren't they? I thought this was a Warner Brothers.
Sure, I'm just saying Christina Hodson is not. It's not slated to be writing any Transformer stuff.
Yeah, this is Joby Harold, directed by Stephen Caple Jr. Come on now. You know what? These guys are probably great. For all I know, they'll nail it. I don't know why I'm complaining. I don't know.
Sure. Sure.
It's just not.
Stephen Caple directed the Creed 2, which by all accounts was underrated. Highly
Jim
underrated.
And I keep saying we need to watch all the Creed movies.
If Creed
3 them. Comes out, I guess both of these.
Maybe we sack. Yeah. Yeah. Let's sack some Creed movies, guys. Let's go.
I like Creed 1. I haven't seen the second one either, but I heard it was good, the second one. So, okay, that gives me hope. You just gave me hope.
I got a track on him. I'm going to see if we want to sack them.
Okay.
Are they streaming?
Going to have a sack attack. Got
to be one of them.
Kind of.
Oh, never mind. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, it might come to us.
Yeah, forget the whole thing. I don't want to do it now. Just kidding. We do. I got some clips if you'd like to hear those.
Yes. I want all the ones that say Brian.
Oh, good.
Right? The ones that say Brian?
I don't know how many.
And I want the ones that also say Bri. So we got Bri and Brian.
I did. This isn't as bad as our last. Was it the last movie? I hardly had any, I think. This one has more, but it's still not a ton. It's the dialogue's none of it's like, oh, man, that's a one to capture for sure. But there was this thing about pastrami madness. So here's this.
I'd like a pastrami madness.
I want to be that lady.
And get old lady at the drive-thru pay attention.
They just didn't give any thought. Like the whole getting the lyric wrong with Africa, that's not the lyric you get wrong. I miss the rains. It's so obvious that it's bless the rains that no one hears that and thinks he's saying miss the rains.
That is not a misheard.
I wondered about
lyric,
that too, because I was like, did I just never mishear it?
100%. 100%.
Tina forever thought that it was, there's nothing that 100 men from Mars could ever do.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That is the far better. Lyric to miss here.
See, in a space,
and
too.
It ties in with space. Exactly.
Yeah, what a missed dumb opportunity. That's amazing.
Right.
Lame. All right, well, here's the Elon Musk reference.
What would Elon do?
Buy Twitter and then F everything up.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the answer.
It is fun to hear it spoken by Sam Tarley, though.
Every line like that is
elevated by his wonderful accent.
I feel like we haven't seen him do much else besides this, and then
Game of Thrones,
and this.
No, he has really had a hard time getting like starring roles in the wake of Game of Thrones.
Which is sad because he's so much fun.
Yeah, he is fun. I think he could do things. Maybe it's because he's just Sam Tarly all the time.
He's like we didn't need a new Nick. Was it Nick Frost? Who's the Nick Frost?
Nick Frost. Good call. Yeah. That's a good.
We didn't need a new Nick Frost, but I'm happy to have a second one just in case.
Yeah, he's in the wings. He's backup.
Right.
Backup Frost. Yeah, I like that. Here's Halle Berry and her moon talk.
We have to go back to the moon. We have to see what's going on up there.
Oh my gosh.
We gotta see what's going on up there.
That's worse with it not seeing it.
Yeah, like, yeah.
She at least sells it with being beautiful and, you know, and she's fine. Like, there's, I, you know what, this whole thing about Halle Berry never doing anything since her Monster Oscar win.
Right. Monster's Ball.
I like her fine. She's fine.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with her at all.
Yeah. What's with all these bad movies?
We watched some cheesy film where she's a police dispatch who talks to a girl who's trapped in a trunk. I think I might have even recommended it. I can't remember what it's called, but, you know, she has to help this girl figure out where she is, talking to her, and the only thing the girl can do is be in the trunk and poke a little hole through the tail light and figure out where she's at.
Well, never forget Halle Berry in this moment here on the show.
I've moved Catwoman.
Never forget.
Yeah.
Never forget.
That's right.
Gosh, that movie turned out to be bad. I still like when I think about our worst movies that we've sacked. That movie always comes
for sure.
Top three worst, easy. Maybe first. Yeah. Maybe number one.
And was never in question that it was going to be bad. Like, you know, from the moment it was released, there was nobody saying, I think this is going to be really good.
Yeah, nobody had good feelings about it, her included. All right, here's where the old man shows up.
You're not supposed to have that. 136 Alpha.
That was like 30 grand worth of talking there for him or something.
Yeah, right.
Jelly, what? Oh, I'm jealous of being broke, someone said.
Divorced, broke. My son hates me.
God, I am so jealous.
I think he meant because you were in space and saw bees. I think that's what he means.
Bees.
By the way,
the bees.
By the way, Sam Tarly does have a good upcoming role potentially.
What is it?
He's in the main cast for the Three Body Problem series, which is coming later this year.
Oh, there was a part of me I thought was sure you were going to say Oppenheimer because everyone is in Oppenheimer.
Oh God, no kidding.
That cast, what the frick are they doing?
Jeez. Trying to maintain my cool about there being a Three Body Problem series coming. It is so exciting. I do not want to over expect much from it.
I don't even know what that is. Three Body
Problem. So the Chinese sci-fi writer of note for all of time is named Qixin Liu. He wrote a book called The Three Body Problem and extended it into a trilogy. Mm-hmm. It is one of the greatest science fiction books ever written. Like, just bottom line, simple. Won all the awards. Wow. Made this guy really, really famous. It is a fantastic book. I highly, highly recommend
it. Wow, this is a bit of a catch-all for ex-Game of Thrones people. Liam Cunningham, who is the Onion Knight, is in this.
Yeah, Davos Seaworth.
Yeah. Jonathan Price, who played the monk... like Pope dude, the ultra religious maester dude that got blown up inside the cathedral with everybody.
Got blown up. It's got Benedict Wong, who's in everything.
Yeah,
and
he plays Wong from the MCU, which is funny. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
that'd be great though. If he did.
Would be great. Yes,
we think it's already like funny
one
enough.
One more connection, right? Yeah, like one more.
Yeah. Why not have it go outside the MCU? I say. No, that looks interesting. I don't know a thing about this though. Is the book? I assume it's translated in English,
right? And that's the thing. It was sort of written in obscurity because, you know, China, and then a real genius English translation came along, and it just blew up. And like I say, of the last 30 years, this is the number one most like historic piece of sci-fi.
You've got me interested in this. This is a series
please read this book. Like I can't guarantee it will ever be made into something good on TV or movie screens. Please read the book, The Three Body Problem.
The cast looks insane, so I'm kind of excited. All right, that's 2023, everybody. Woo! Here is another clip. This clip is one I'm pulling up now. All right, here it is. taking a bomb into space.
You're going to take a bomb into space.
Uh-huh. Let that sink in, you know? I'm going to put that bomb out there. Here's the IBS joke.
I've got IBS.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was really annoyed how they treated. I really get annoyed how they treat pharmaceuticals in movies.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, you just take a pill whenever you're feeling it. Like you feel like, I need a pill.
Yeah, and you just pile them all into a Altoids tin or something. Yep. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that happens.
Nope. Well, if it does, you're in, you have bigger problems.
Yeah.
Here's this. Oh, they played a stock sound effect I've heard in a million things. When something is shorting out, this is the sound you pull from the library. Yeah. And I've heard it in video games, 1,000 movies, yeah, bunch of TV shows. Here's the sound. I hate that sound.
I thought I was the only one that heard that. But yeah, I thought the same thing too.
Yeah, it's in everything that has an electrical.
Star Wars-y too, right? Like, yeah. I feel like this is a Jabba's torture.
That's when you hit the guideline, right? Outside and you record it. And, which is it?
Yeah,
just, I play Clash Royale. And if you play Clash Royale, you've heard that sound. That's a very common sound in that game.
Interesting. Here is Who Made You?
Who Made You?
The same people who made you.
Oh, thanks, kid.
Oh, Who Made Who?
Who Made Who? Who
like
Made
AC/DC.
You? I love that song. It's not their best song, but I still like it.
Good.
This is some terrible dialogue, and I have two of these in a row. So here's the first one.
Your ancestors had created a perfect and harmonious world, controlled by a central self-learning computer system, which served them in all of their daily lives.
Ugh. What's with that delivery? That's terrible.
This is how all of us aliens talk.
It's that lilting thing at the end. It's really dumb. Like, you just did it. It's like, this is what it is. You are
what
in
do you
a
want
thing
for me.
Yeah. F off. Here's a gets worse.
The AI suddenly became self-aware and transformed into countless swarms of nanotechnology.
Okay, now did you hear it?
Yeah.
Technology, did you hear that?
Oh, I did, yes, and I heard it then too.
I'm gonna play it again.
Of nanotechnology.
Nanotechnology.
Technology.
Don't pay that kid. Don't pay him.
I'm a kid. I can't read.
Sorry, kid. You flubbed the line.
Where have I
heard that style of talking before? I can't think of. And it's the Democrats who wanna change the.
Yeah, that lilt thing at the end. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. We just triggered.
And
like
then,
four
and
people.
Then, you know, there was, of course, World of Warcraft Cataclysm.
Yeah, Cataclysm.
Cataclysm. Sure.
That girl was great. Hey, it spawned an amazing song with us in it, Brian or Randy. It's an amazing song. You have to admit. Yeah. I got a prom clip from Brian Ibbitt's Vast Archives. His mom sent this to
good.
Me. Yeah,
boy, there should be a lot of those in here.
This was at the dance, and there was a fight that broke out at the dance, like near the punch bowl. Or something. I'm just, I assume there was a punch bowl. And you guys got there's a big row or whatever, and you weren't joining in right away, so a kid walked up and said this.
We need you, Brian, to join the fight.
Okay, and you did. You joined the fight, and it all worked out.
Brian,
nice job. Save the moon, save Earth. Save the cheerleader, save the world, I guess. Here's that.
Save the moon, save Earth.
That's all I could think about is save the cheerleader, save the world. Remember that from Heroes? It was Heroes, right?
Oh, yes.
Love it. How could you forget it?
Yeah. Yes, that has taken up a spot in my brain for 20 years.
Yep.
That thing seems so antiquated to me now, given everything that's come since. But at the time, it was unbelievable that we had a genre show about superhero and heroes and powers. That just seemed completely new and fresh, and nobody was doing anything about it. And those final seasons were bad, but that first season was like, really? Whoa, we're doing this? They're basically making X-Men, but off-brand X-Men, and this will never happen on TV. And now there's a trillion of these, and not just mainline MCU or DCU. It's like 1,000 other shows that you can go stream anytime you want that are about people
like
with powers.
Every network,
Every but at the time
has their own.
Yeah,
it's like Lost, kind of, right? There's 1,000 Losts now, but at the time, Lost was it.
Every network had to create their own Lost.
Yep. To this day, I feel like they keep trying.
Still,
failing.
1899 succeeds. Go watch 1899 on Netflix.
Except that did you hear about that? We got bad news about
just
that
this week.
Yeah, it's got they canceled the second season. They're not doing it.
Oh, that's right. First season asks questions and answers them.
So would you say worth watching even though
still worth watching even though you don't get a second season? Yes.
Okay. That's good.
I appreciate that you recommended it. I could not continue. I watched like one and a half episodes and just I didn't care at all.
Oh wow.
Too much foreign dialogue or what? What was the deal?
I don't know. It felt like a lot of guess what's behind this curtain. Well, I'll tell you later. You know, and I'm like, "Oh, I don't know."
Interesting. It does that. Like it doesn't answer its questions very quickly, but it doesn't wait as long as Lost did to answer its questions. So, yeah.
Well, in this case, all questions are answered.
I was thinking about Midnight Mass for some reason, and it's because it's got the same tone. Mm. But in Midnight Mass, I instantly loved every character. I wanted to know everything about every character in that show. And in this one, 1899, I just was like, I don't really care about any of you people.
Huh. Interesting.
Well,
it happens. It happens. It's fine.
It does happen. And it's not happening next season. So there you have it.
It'll never happen for another season.
It'll never happen again unless someone else picks it up.
Yeah.
Here's our final line.
You're part of the moon now.
I just love that. I love that you're part of the moon now.
You're part of the moon now. Yeah.
It's pretty great. All right. Well, with that played and done, now this. Film Sack checklist goes like this. Ripped off Matrix stuff? Check. Ripped off 2001 A Space Odyssey stuff? Check. Good actors doing terrible work? Check! Star Trek connections? I am unaware of any, but I'm sure Randy found somebody, right?
Zero.
Okay.
Really?
I can't believe it, too. I was like, I wonder if Quicksack is broken. And so I went like digging. Like, how could Patrick Wilson have never been in a recent Star Trek thing? How could Charlie Plummer not be in any of the new, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt like there must be nothing. Donald Sutherland has never been in any Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, it seemed like an That's opportunity amazing. Lost. Yeah, I agree.
Because, I mean, he's a great actor, but he's not too great for Star Trek. Like, he will take that work.
No, they'll let him. Or he would want to, and they would let him, I think. I don't know. He gets a lot of money for 2 minutes of acting, so who knows? The other thing I was going to say about this that I thought was maybe Star Trek, what was it? Oh, the girl, the nanny, I thought maybe I'd seen somewhere in a modern thing, but I guess not. It's not anywhere to be found. So there you go. No Star Trek connections, although we do have our Game of Thrones connections, and that's always fun as well.
Lots of those this time, and I went looking for Seinfeld and MASH connections, but this is just a weird movie.
Yeah, a little one-off-y deal. Oh, he apparently brings people around with him, though, because Patrick Wilson's in that Midway movie also, and along with a million other actors. But I think I kind of want to watch Midway now. Everybody,
should. Yeah. You absolutely should.
And he co-wrote that, so it feels like he was doing good work there. And then he said, and then I'll do Moonfall. soundtrack grade, I'd give it an F for fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it worked. It did whatever it needed. I don't know. It didn't jump out, but it was fine.
Yeah, there weren't like themes. No. That's what struck me.
There was some there was some cool discordant stuff when they were in the moon's interior that I like. You know, mysterious sci-fi, and almost not even music, more like ambient noise in a weird way, kind of ambient music. I like that. But none of it was
two composers here. Harold Closer has done all of the Roland Emmerich films, I think. Like, he's been a composer for all of them.
He should be forced to just do credits in movies because his name is Closer. I think that's
right. Well, and of course, the other one we love so much, Tom Wanker.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
Tom Wanker. I guess I really don't have anything for like, did the music for White House Down? It's just not memorable.
That's another Emmerich directed thing, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, White House Down.
Tom Wanker.
All right, nicely done. Let's get to this Twitter post where we sum the damn thing up in 280 characters or less. And this week, I think we'll change things up for 2023 and start with Randy.
Moonfall. What?
No, no. It's like, wait, Scott always says that. Go ahead. What?
Moonfall. Moonfall. Everyone is related to everyone else somehow, except this one guy who's like super weird, but he'll sacrifice himself to save the world. Just like Randy Quaid in Independence Day, back when Randy Quaid was a sexy man, like all Randys.
Yeah.
Aw. Oh, all Randys. I see. Hashtag all Randys.
No. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Brian Dunaway, sum it up.
Moonfall, what would Elon do? Buy Twitter and trend Moonfall? Now prepare to deploy the probe into the big black hole on the dark side of the moon. Hashtag free bagels to all megastructuralists.
Very nice. Did you notice there was all kinds of free, I don't know if it was free, but there was a lot of product placement for SpaceX. That was all over the place.
Oh, yeah, SpaceX. And what was the other one? Kaspersky. What is it? What is the?
Kaspersky Labs. The software people.
Yeah.
They have a hard name to say. I don't like it. Kaspersky. Kaspersky. Whatever it is. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Moonfall. It took Home Alone 2 and Donald 24 years to do it. Superman Returns and Kevin did in 11 years, but Moonfall got cringy in 8 months. Thanks, Elon.
Aw, nicely done. I love that Elon took such a bath today. let's get to the alternate titles. They were just handed to me. Oh, I know, this is late breaking news. I got this list right here. It was almost called, there was a guy, okay, I need some context. There was almost another character, a side character. His name was going to be Paul, and he was going to be on the ship with him, and just like this extra guy, probably going to die in the end, that sort of thing. So they almost called it Moon Paul. Oh gosh, I went a long way to get that.
Went so far for that one.
I know. I feel like I need to stay overnight before I head back to head back home. Or finally, garbage. It was almost called garbage. That's more of my opinion than anything else. I know it's not entirely fair. It's not total garbage, but it's garbage enough for me.
Oh, I was trying to like come up with landfill, like instead of moonfall.
Oh, you know what I mean? Moonfill.
I couldn't connect them.
Moon. River. No, hi. We got contacts from people, and one of them, usually an email and a text, but today we're going to do a phone call. We got an actual recorded message here. Let's find out what this listener has to say.
Hello, Sackers. This is Kelly up in British Columbia, Canada. I'm probably not the first person to tell you guys this, but there is a black and white version of The Mist, and it is fantastic. Yes. It is so much better than the color version. The effects look so much better. The monsters are scarier. The mist is more mystifying. You owe it to yourself to see this black and white version. I heard a story that Frank Darabont actually originally wanted to release the black and white version to theaters. The studio, of course, said no because they thought no one would go and see a black and white movie, which is probably true. But the black and white version is absolutely amazing, fantastic. So much better than the color version. Please check it out. Love the cast. Love you guys. Please keep up the good work. Bye.
Thanks, man.
Was
it Kelly was his name? I'll give him proper credit here. Hold on.
Hello, Sackers. This is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Yep.
Stephen King. But okay.
Stephen King, reading his own books again. I didn't know this until a few people, and people had been telling us during the week, but when we had the show, we didn't bring it up because I had never heard of this, and I am on the look for it. I guess I probably got to get a Blu-ray or something.
Right
to see it. Yeah.
I was aware of this, and I did not locate a black and white version, but it's I did the love the crap out of Logan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, the special edition includes the black and white?
Yeah, the special edition DVD or Blu-ray includes the black and white version.
Oh, I might have to track that down. I'm a big fan, obviously, of Mad Max Fury Road, but the black and chrome edition of that movie, which is a black and white rendering, is so freaking cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love them both and want them both to exist, and I'm glad that that's true here as well, but I had no idea. I would absolutely watch The Mist again in black and white. I would do it.
Yeah. I want to talk about this topic. So, like, put a pin in it. Like, let's find a place to talk about this.
Are not you putting right your hand in front of your face right now?
Yeah, I'm rubbing my eyes because it's such a strange topic. It's so freaking weird that there are some films where you take the color away and people like it. That's so weird. That's just like it's mind blowing.
It is weird, right? It's a contrast thing, though. Like in Mad Max Fury in Fury Road, they did more than just turn the color off. They did a whole bunch of contrasty stuff and enhanced it and created some weird depth of field stuff that they didn't do in the color version. So I don't know if that's happening here with The Mist or not, but maybe The Mist just benefits from that old school aesthetic of dark.
And it probably does help because it already wasn't that colorful of a movie anyway, because everything's supposed to be covered in mist for the most part. So it does enhance some of that.
I want to talk for an hour about this. Like, what if you do The Wizard of Oz to The Mist and it's in color until the mist comes? And then now you're in black and white all the way until the very, very, very end.
Well, right? You got an upcoming bonus monthly episode next month.
Yeah, that'd be a great topic.
You should do that.
Anybody want to join me for that?
I don't know.
Anybody really care about this topic?
Not as much as you do.
I'd love to talk to one of you about it.
Yeah, I'd pop in for that.
Yeah, okay. you that's an interesting topic. We should bring it to the patrons.
So
which by the way is a great reason to we're not gonna do patrons yet because I gotta read this text, do that. I like that a lot. It sounds like a super interesting take. We got text also this week, and that came to that very self same number, 801-471-0462. We got it from Paul S, who says, "Hey guys, I enjoyed your episode on Westworld. but have you seen its porn version, Sex World? Which came out in 1978, back when porn movies actually had a narrative. That might be the only porn movie that's actually sackable by you guys. Thanks and love, Film Sack, Paul S. Okay. Never heard of it.
Is it within lore? Is it in lore?
Back me up.
Is it just, I mean, like,
is it in canon?
Is it in canon? I guess that's what I mean.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right on IMDb. It says bus tour takes it. So this doesn't sound right. Bus tour takes its passengers to a place called Sex World where they can live out their most secret desired fantasy. No, this must be it. 78.
Yeah, there it is. Westworld was for children. Future World was for teenagers. But Sex World is definitely for adults.
Wow.
This is a moment.
Streaming on Cultpix.
This is a moment when I would like to make sure Scott has a soundboard clip of the comedian Nigel Ng dropping the Uncle Roger character and saying, sorry, children.
Oh, I don't know if I have that. That's a I can look.
Sorry
man,
children. What are we doing here?
I have children. Let's see. Here's the children clips that I have.
No, it's okay. We'll get it some other time. Just
I like to have children.
Okay, thanks. Thanks.
Oh my gosh, Alex Jones.
Thanks, Alex Jones. You're great. All right,
a message from concerned children's advertisers.
That's definitely not it. All right.
Oof.
Okay. Sex World. No, probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not going to see it.
We'll see. Every now and then someone like writes in or tweets us or something and says, hey, you should sack Caligula. And I'm like, nope, don't even want to talk about it.
No,
Zardoz was enough.
Yep, yeah. Zardoz was more than enough.
So I got fooled the other day. Somebody told me Zardoz happened in the year 2023, and it doesn't. But it supposedly takes place in 2023. So I made this whole big deal about it and make sure your penis is put away because it's evil and get the guns. Guns are good and all that. And I was kidding around. Someone goes, it's actually like 3221 or something. It's like, damn it. Why do I fall for this stuff? It's like the Back to the Future thing where
19. Right, right. 19. It's, oh, no, it's 2023. That's the year that you see on the dashboard.
And then about 1,000 people believe it and they retweet it and post it and cross post it. And then you realize you're wrong. And now the cat's out of the bag and it's pissing on everything. Gosh, dang it. Yeah. Stupid internet. All right. Thanks for the text, Paul. And also Kelly for the voicemail. Again, that number is 801-471-0462. If you'd rather do it the old-fashioned way, you can send us emails at filmsack@gmail.com. All right, real quick, I want to thank some folks for being a part of our Patreon. I want to thank actually all of them. Everybody who supports us on Patreon deserves a shout-out today because you guys are amazing. 2023 is just better because you're involved, and we love you. If you want to have the show without an ad ever, you want to have some cool artwork in the mail every month, you just want to be a part of the broader community and get these bonus shows we keep talking about. We got one coming from Dunaway soon here for the month of January.
Next week.
Watch for that. But that's the only way you get those. They're 100% exclusive there. We don't even put them out delayed on the main feed. So if you want to get a hold of that stuff, it is on you to join us at patreon.com/filmsack. Be like Shanafan, Peter, Chris Connell. I almost read Chris Cornell, which would have been, he would have been a ghost. Oh, and that would have been weird.
Yeah.
Patrick Irie, Diego, Ethan, Obi-Wan Allen. I love that. Robert Decker.
Love it.
And Daniel Hull all have joined us since our last episode. And you guys are amazing.
Oh, hi.
Thank you so much for being a part of the Patreon.
Yes.
Again, that's patreon.com/filmsack. Our next movie will be, I don't even know. What is our next
Blowout.
Movie? Blowout.
We're going to watch Blowout.
Yes, we're all doing our hair next week. It's going to be amazing.
Blowout. Remind me, Blowout. 81, Travolta.
That would be John Travolta. Yeah, Nancy Allen, and a third person that's famous.
John Lithgow.
Yep, John Lithgow.
Dennis Franz, and that's it. J. Patrick McNamara. I don't know who that is.
So, I mean, a movie I had personally never heard of until this week. Mm-hmm. And it's very exciting to me.
Yeah,
it's
this very thing exciting is to me. Highly regarded too.
It's directed by Brian De Palma, and like I didn't know he was that old.
De Palma's been working since this is 81. Sure, but he was part of that Spielberg Lucas group, right? All hanging out.
Yeah.
Their thing.
Well, and I guess I did know because he directed Carrie, right? And which is older than Blowout, but I'm just I'm excited. This is very exciting
for me. I have no context for this, so I'm actually really excited. I don't know what this even is.
Oh, good.
But I like De Palma. I like his movies. Most of them. I've seen 8mm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
At some point, we need to see Body Double, too. Speaking of Brian De Palma, that's another perfect sack film.
Did we do Untouchables?
It's his impersonation of Alfred Hitchcock. I don't think we've done Untouchables.
We have not sacked the Untouchables. I remember my parents renting it from the VHS store in town. Mm-hmm. And then I was kicked out. I was kicked out of the room. And I snuck in and watched some of the Untouchables around the side of the couch.
I love that movie. We got to watch the Untouchables. It's so good.
There's a particularly gruesome scene that I watched through my fingers when I wasn't supposed to.
You put one of them in the hospital, you put one of theirs in the morgue.
Carriage coming down the staircase in slow motion.
Such a great, one of the greatest scenes ever filmed. It's so good.
It really is.
Do you want to sack it? It's on HBO Max.
Hell yeah, I do.
All right, we're sacking it. Okay. Putting it in the list.
Get that De Palma energy going this year. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week for that. And go check out our archives. Filmsack.com is our website. Patreon.com/Filmsack, as I mentioned before. Send us those emails, filmsack@gmail.com. And we love your texts and your voicemails, 801-471-0462. You can also find us on Twitter if you'd like. That's at Filmsack. That'll do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Andy.
We're inside the moon.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I've got IBS.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.